Disclaimer. This podcast is my own, and the views expressed by me and my guests on this podcast do not reflect the opinions of PSA Collectors or any other company that engages me for appraisal services. Neither myself nor my guests provide any financial or investment advice on this podcast, and any discussions of valuations for collectibles, either in the past or the present, does not guarantee future performance. Enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Appraiser Podcast, and today is going to be a fun one. We have Matt Powers with Powers Sports Memorabilia, and he is on the forefront of authentic autographs. So he has a website, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but essentially, he travels the country going to card shows and gets autographs for you in person. And let me introduce him. His name is Matt Powers. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Michael, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on with us. It's going to be a fun conversation today. And as I was thinking about when you got started, I didn't realize it was in 2008, which when the whole world, especially this country, was falling apart during the financial crisis. So what made you kind of take a leap and say, you know what? Even though people are jumping out the windows, things are in dire straits, I'm going to start a company.
Well, I was young and dumb back then, so I wasn't paying attention to anything politically or economic wise. So I was not tied in with the world, apparently. So it never actually crossed my mind. I'd been doing this since essentially 2004, and so. That was actually kind of a, for me personally, that was kind of a worst time when we were actually had four stores that I was working for this company out in California. So that was actually a worst time I thought of because we sold a lot of high-end stuff and the market kind of collapsed on some of that stuff, but it never actually crossed my mind. You know, I've never doubted myself when I have the knowledge to do something, whether or not I'll be able to accomplish it. You know, what's going on in the world and whatnot does really kind of not important to me. I'm always confident in what I'm doing if I believe and know how to do something.
Mm-hmm. And kind of walk us through, you know, me being a sports appraiser, I see certificates of authenticity all the time, day in and day out. But a lot of times, as you know, they don't mean a damn, they mean nothing. It could be my neighbor, John, who's a very nice guy, but he's in construction and he just prints off letters on his printer saying that this Mickey Mantle autograph is real, or this Tom Brady autograph is real. So when someone comes to your website and buys an item, it doesn't matter what it is, tell the audience how you guarantee that this autograph is actually real and authentic.
So I would say probably 99% of the autographs that we have on the site have all been ones that have been done at signings that we've taken part in. We've been there in person, we've had Beckett or JSA or PSA that has been present at the signing. There are some random ones, like you mentioned, Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays, who we sell, who obviously haven't done signings for quite some time. So there's no Beckett witness out there for Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays, or there probably shouldn't be, but there might be actually out there. But so that's how we curate all of our autographs, is directly through the agents, where, you know, we get to attend. We have some of the third-party authentication company out there. We try to take as many photos as we can. If you scroll through our Instagram, we'll have pictures of the signings or pictures of the items afterwards and all that kind of stuff. And you know what's great about too about social media is when we post stuff after a signing, a lot of the customers will actually tag the athlete in their posts. So you know the athletes are seeing this stuff, and so. That's kind of a cool thing about social media, is there's kind of this cross check with everything sometimes. And, you know, the athletes can say, hope you enjoy the item or whatever it is. Like they know that they've signed it. Like they recognize obviously the item, or they recognize their autograph. So that's kind of the fun thing in the social media age is you can actually double and triple check with stuff. You can actually send an autograph to an athlete and say, hey, did you sign this? But yes, that's how 99% of the autographs are on the site. They're all Beckett witness or, if they're cards, then we got to send them to PSA for, you know, obviously for grading purposes and whatnot. And that's something too about cards. I've kind of gone back and forth about. A lot of people don't like having stickers on their cards. I've kind of gone the other way. I kind of like having some sort of first party authentication on the back of the card. And then when you send them to PSA for maybe the autograph grading, because when you send it to PSA, if you don't have any authentication on the item, they're just giving you their opinion on it. It's not a, you know, 100% guarantee that that's an authentic item. So. But yeah, that's how 99% of the autographs are on the site.
Let's talk about stickers versus non-stickers. So for the people listening, an on-card autograph is, as it seems, the autograph is actually on the card. A sticker is usually in the off-season, right? An athlete will be shipped essentially stickers, 100 stickers, 500 stickers for him or her to sign. And they will do it at their leisure and then ship it back to their maybe business agent or Tops or Panini or whoever. And then those stickers actually get affixed to the card. And so there's a lot of head scratching back. Some people like stickers. A lot of people don't. So it's kind of interesting to get your perspective, being that you live, breathe autographs day in and day out.
Yeah, so the thing with the stickers, the reason why they do that is because, in my understanding, when I'm talking to a lot of guys at these shows, especially at like the National, where a lot of the big guys that do like Leaf will be there and some other card manufacturers, is the actual design process of these cards and getting them manufactured is actually a rather lengthy process. It's not like they just push a couple buttons and they've got a card tomorrow. You know, they've got to design it. They've got to figure out what pack it's going to go, or figure out what kind of set it's going to go into. So that's why they do the stickers, is they, hey, listen, this athlete's not signing at our, you know, demand, right? We can't get him to sign tomorrow. He's signing at this particular time. So that's why they've got to do the stickers. I see athletes all the time just sitting there bored out of their mind, signing pages and pages of these stickers. And they've got the little fine Stadler blue in their hand, and they're just sitting there and they look so bored. They just look bored out of their mind. But I hate them. I really would rather have an on-card autograph, but that's the problem that you run into is with the manufacturers, is just getting that card ready to go for that particular signing. So everything that we do at the signings course is all on-card autographs. I actually had someone ask me that question. I think it was Baker Mayfield, who we got coming up, who I'll show you an item here for. They asked the question, like, hey, when we send our card into the signing, do we get a sticker on the card with the autograph, or is he sign it on the actual card? And I was like, what a silly question to ask. But then I was like scratching my head. I was like, well, if you've never done this before and you only seen sticker autographs, I mean, I guess logically you might be thinking that, but obviously, yes, it's signed on the actual item itself.
Well, and also, like, some people think stickers of like the COA sticker, like when PSA puts a sticker on, let's say, a mini helmet with the number. So sometimes sticker, if someone is naive or just doesn't know, if they've never done this before, they think of stickers as different types of things. So you must be like a road warrior. How many different shows do you go to every year? And is the National awesome for you? Is it a headache? What does that look like?
National's long. It's 5 days of getting autographs, which sounds fun. Don't get me wrong. And it is. It depends where it's at, too. Like, Cleveland was not very fun. We only had, I think, four tables in the back for all the stuff that we had to get signed. So it was a organizational cluster as far as getting all your stuff out, getting it signed, getting authenticated, getting it put back, creating more room for the next day and all that kind of stuff. But as far as traveling go, I think next week I've got to go to Arizona for George Brett. And then the following week is Florida for Bird. And then we've got to head to Chicago. So we do a decent amount of travel. I mean, it's not crazy. It's not outrageous, but it's fun every once in a while to kind of get out and kind of reset and go to some new places you haven't been to. And I get to see my buddy from high school I haven't seen since high school in Phoenix. So that's kind of a fun little trip there. But traveling is cool. The shows are fun. Don't get me wrong. I like the shows because I get to interact with all the other dealers and kind of swap war stories and interact with all the athletes. Of course, that's always fun, but it's really a lot of work. It's way more work than people think it is. It's an organizational nightmare. I mean, if you don't like being organized, then this is not for you for sure.
Yeah, I've been in some of those back private rooms at different shows across the country where athletes do the private signings, and then typically afterwards, or maybe before, there'll be a public signing. And in the back, yeah, it's just like kind of like structured chaos. There's Wilson Sporting Good boxes everywhere. There's Sharpies everywhere. There's athletes coming in and out. They got to get to the airport. There's maybe some person was trying to get an autograph and the athlete left and they're trying to hunt them down. So they get escorted in the back. It's just, it's crazy.
Well, and it's easier for other people that just do inventory stuff. Like, they're just like like Fanatics will get just their stuff signed, but we're getting other people's stuff signed. So it's everything is completely customized. And we got to make sure, hey, we got 15 for this athlete, 30 for this side, 20 for that athlete, 2 for this athlete. People send in multi-sign items where we've got to get 13 different guys on a weekend on there. So we've got to make sure that we're, hey, we put this item on our multi-sign table. So make sure we don't put it away. So when we go to try to find this item, we know where it is. And it's just, it's all over the place. But that's actually the funnest part, I think, is the organizational actually getting it done. The lead up to it is kind of selling everything. It's kind of boring. And then you've got to pack everything up, get it ready for the show. That's kind of boring. But you actually get the stuff signed is actually the fun part.
You mentioned two important topics, and I want to talk about both of them. The first, so you mentioned Fanatics, and then you talked about when people send in stuff, mail order. So the first question I have for you is on Fanatics. So a lot of times, like you'll see in the press, how much a Fanatics athlete is charging to get something signed at a show. So my question is, and for me, you know, I'm not in your world, but I see these crazy high prices, and I'm like, wow, that's like even more than like retail. So my question to you is, when some of your athletes or some of the people who you have contracted to sign for you and see these crazy high prices, are they raising their prices to you because they see, oh my God, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning is getting crazy amount over there?
Yes and no. I know Bird raised his price on the rookies because he saw what Magic was getting paid for those for the 1980 tops. So that's one recent example I can see. But you know, Fanatics has to charge more because their overhead is way higher, and plus they're paying these guys astronomical amounts of money. So they've got to recoup their investment on them, and they've got top tier guys. I mean, Tom Brady is, I mean, the number one's probably sought after autograph outside of probably Jordan and maybe even LeBron. So they've got to charge premiums for these things. But I'm not privy to their numbers as far as how much money they make and whatnot. I can't imagine it's all that much, really. I mean, they've got tons of overhead. They've got all these licensing fees. And it's just, that's why they've got to charge all these crazy amounts to make sure that they make some money. But the pricing changes too all the time. That's what's crazy about this stuff. One show it'll be at 200, the next show it'll be 250, and then hey, rollback pricing, we've got it at 150. You know, it's just however the wind blows that day is how the pricing and every show charges differently. They've got different overheads. Private signings are the best way to do it because there's no that overhead that's built into there. That's why if you buy autographs at like the National, it's probably the most expensive autograph of the year because they've got this huge overhead on the building and labor and all that kind of stuff. And they've got maybe 80, 90, maybe more guys coming in. That's a huge payroll cost for bringing in all those athletes in. Plus, obviously, the venue cost. And plus, you got hotels and flights and all that kind of stuff. So it adds up a lot versus if you just did one private signing with one athlete. Then that's where you're going to get the cheapest price.
Interesting point there. And also, you know, since COVID started in 2020, autograph signings and just the cost was so different pre-COVID, meaning now guys, like you were just saying, Bird, are getting smarter. In 2017, 2018, a guy would charge whatever he charges. But now they're saying, oh my God, a signed rookie card is commanding, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars. The athlete's saying, I should be able to monetize that and charge a premium. But in 2017, 2018, like that did not occur at all. Let's talk about the mail-in orders. So obviously you do all these private signings and someone can go to your website and buy whatever they want. However, maybe someone at home has a program or something that's near and dear to them that they have been holding on for a long time, but they want it to be signed. So how does that work? Does someone go to your website and fill out a form and then ship in the item? And then once you have the item in your possession, how do you go about having the athlete sign it?
So it's just a simple, straightforward process. They go to the website, they order the autograph that they need, they order any add-ons such as authentication, inscriptions, et cetera. And once they place their order, they get an order form and then they get instructions on how to send in their item. You just follow those four steps when you send it in. Basically, you just need to tell us how you want it signed, include this form, you send it in. Once we get it, we check everything, make sure that it matches up with what you're wanting to do, what's actually feasible. And we make corrections. For example, if you wanted black on a black background, obviously that's not going to work. So we're going to have to do a different pen color. We let you know when to get the item, and then we get it signed to your specifications.
How long have those dropdowns been on your website or add-ons? Because I think it's so genius. And I've seen, obviously, you have competition, other people that do what you do. And I haven't seen that on their website. I just think it's just so easy.
That's all. That's the way to, in life and anything in there, you have to think about it from the other person's perspective. I'll give you a quick story. I've been on the phone with Verizon for almost 8 hours in the past week or so, trying to get a new phone. Just trying to get a new phone. There's some issue with the credit on the account. I don't know what it is, but I don't work for Verizon, so I don't know their lingo. And it's really confusing. I could walk into a T-Mobile store right now and just get a new phone and be out of there in 30 minutes, right? So they've got some issue on there. It's complicated. They don't know what it is. So if you make things really easy for like a fifth grader to order something, you know, Alex Hormozi talks about this. I don't know who Alex Hormozi is, but he said, hey, can a third grader understand this? Can a fifth grader understand that? If they can, you're probably doing pretty good because it's got to be easy. Like, people don't have time nowadays. You've seen how big TikTok is. Like, people have real short attention spans, and you got to make it easy for them and make it easy for them to understand what you know. Hey, what is person A trying to accomplish? Okay. Hey, here's how you accomplish it, and just keep it real simple.
Well, this is a first on the Sports Appraiser podcast. We kind of went off kilter to talk about Verizon, but I am going to help you with Verizon.
I hate Verizon now.
So you know what? Later on today, you're going to thank me. I know their CEO, Hans Vestberg. I'm going to get you two connected. And by the end of the day, your phone is going to be fixed.
Whatever. Oh, let's go. Let's get it done. True story. Just want a new phone. I'm trying to give them money and they won't take my money.
No. I'll get that straightened out for you. But back to what you do. You know, we just saw the 50th celebration of Saturday Night Live and some of the great guys back then, Dan Aykroyd, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase. I believe you recently had a Chevy Chase signing, or it's coming up. Sometimes people say he's kind of like a curmudgeon. Is that true?
I always hate to say bad things about people because I have to work with them. Specifically speaking, or inspecifically speaking, there are a couple athletes and people out there that are tougher to work with, you know. And from my experience, Chase is not one of them. But there are a couple people out there that are just I'm thinking of one off the top of my head that are just they're just miserable to be around, and they just it's their own darn fault. Like, they don't want to do inscriptions, but yet they offer inscriptions, you know, where they want to write something if they got to personalize it or add a stat. And listen, I like what Larry Bird does. Larry Bird does no inscriptions. It makes it real easy for us. We literally show up, we get everything signed, and we're out and done in 90 minutes. Like, that's great. And that's what's difficult is when an athlete gets in front of you and they start changing their mind about what they want to do. And it's like, this is not difficult work, people. Like, if we could just make the rules and then follow the rules. Like, at least with Fanatics, they at least tell you what the rules are of their athletes. You know, and so you know going into it, hey, this is going to happen. This isn't going to happen. So, I'm thinking of a couple athletes off the top of my head, but they're just every time I get orders for some of these athletes, I'm like, oh man, can someone else go to this one, please? I don't want to go.
Have you ever had an athlete just get up and leave and just say, I'm done, I'm tired, or I'm sick of this, it's over?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Listen, it's not, the public thinks it's easy work because they just sit there and they sign. And physically wise, yeah, you probably are. But signing autographs for 6-7 hours or five, it is draining work. You're just tired. You're doing the same thing over and over again for 5-6 hours. And you need a break. You got to take a break. You got to leave. I've had a couple of, I saw one athlete walk in, and it was just a whole conference room, a big, huge, like almost like a ballroom of just helmets. And he just was like, I'm done. Like, he's just signed for an hour and like, that's it. I'll come back. And he was going to be like, I'll come back later and do the inscriptions. Like, I'm just done for now. And I get it. I respect it. Another athlete I've seen where they've done it over 3 or 4 days, where it's just like, it's just too much, you know, like you've got other things in your life that are more important than signing autographs. And yes, you'd like to do it for people and they get paid very good, but it's at the same time, it's like, you can only do so much at one particular time. And it is overwhelming. Like, when I went to Freddie Freeman, he walked into the room and it was just like, whoa, like, he had not signed in a while. And it was 2,500 pieces that he had to get done in literally 6 hours. And he's got kind of a shorter graph, so it kind of helped him out a little bit. And he wasn't doing very many inscriptions, but you could see the look on his face. He's like, Whoa, it's been a while since I've done one of these.
I'm assuming that signing was after they won the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so of course. Okay, tell people your website, and also what are like the two or three most interesting autographs for sale on your website today?
Well, you can go to powerssportsmemorabilia.com. So Powers like Austin Powers. You can see all the stuff we've got that's already been signed at signings, that's ready to go and ship. And then, of course, the main stuff that people want are the actual signings that are coming up. I don't really do too much interesting stuff like to get signed for myself that we're selling for the inventory. But as far as stuff that people have sent in, like, of course, we get crazy stuff. I just had Don Mattingly sign a pack of cigarettes. I did not know Don Mattingly had a pack of cigarettes that he had. I don't know if this is made for him or if he had actually been selling these. I'd never seen it before. So we've seen that. Every time Alex Morgan does a signing, like, we have to, like, you know, make sure that it's tell people that, hey, over 18 stuff, you got to send us. Please don't send us these half naked photos of people. Like, we got to keep it family friendly on the website, you know? So it is kind of weird sometimes getting some of those photos for like the soccer girls and stuff like that from other men. But I think that's probably the weirdest stuff that we get. It's just kind of oddball stuff. Pick random pictures of people that are just kind of like kind of slightly inappropriate. And you're just like, really, you want to get this sign, man? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, people have different thoughts about value, or like I said earlier, people have been holding something for decades, and for whatever reason, they think, you know what, now is the perfect time for me to get it signed because he or she is signing, and they'll ship it in. Yeah, I've seen, to your point, I've been walking around the Rosemont, Illinois show, the March show and the November show, and in the back, I see what people send in. I'm like, weird and crazy, right?
Well, sometimes you're like, you spent how much money on this? Like, and it's just, like, and yeah. Listen, I'm not here to if you want to get signed, hey, we're going to help you out here. But sometimes it's like, you know, you're spending a couple thousand dollars on a big time autograph. Let's just say, for example, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or something like that. And it's like, why are we choosing to get this item signed for an extra $100 or so? We can get like a much nicer item. Like, let's do that instead.
Yeah. Well, this has been really eye-opening, insightful. Thank you for coming on. I do have one last question, because this is the Sports Appraiser podcast. I want to know if you brought something to show and you're curious about the value of.
Yeah, so we've got Baker Mayfield coming up next week, and it's OU helmet. It's got all their Heisman guys on it, and the only one he's missing is Baker. So full-size rep. He's got, let's see here. He's got Sims there. He's got Bradford. White, who else was 69 Heisman? Who was that? That was Steve. What was his name? So we got pretty much everybody on there. It's a shut helmet rep, and he's just missing Baker, and he's going to be getting the Heisman inscription on there. So it's, I don't know if you probably can't even see it on there, but it's all blurred out in the background.
I can't see it, but how many total autographs are on there?
We got 4 autographs on there.
Okay. And then you're saying with Baker, it'll be 5?
It'll be 5, yep. And all of them have the Heisman inscription, and they all have, let's see here, they all have authentication as well.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. It's got to be at least $1,250 to $1,500 bucks, depending upon the boldness and strength of the signatures there, and kind of if there's any inscriptions or whatnot. But yeah, I mean, for a college, you know, fan or a Heisman fan, Oklahoma, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love Baker. Baker's kind of one of my favorite guys. He's got a short autograph, though. We got to try to get him to do a little bigger one. But it's so funny that these athletes, they got small autographs. Like, Favre's autograph, too, has gotten so much smaller lately. And I don't know if it's because of the Parkinson's or whatnot, but it's really short and blocky now, too. So try to get these athletes to sign a little bit bigger for everybody.
Well, I think that's maybe a topic for a separate conversation, whereas a lot of these modern players, you can't even read, or like, I don't even know how the authenticators can authenticate some of these signatures. But like,
That's the point. It's like, if you don't get first party authentication, how do you know what this is? It's junk. Like, I won't say names, but like some of these guys, like, especially like, it's just 2 letters, and it's just like, yeah. Seriously, bro, you could try a little more. Like, we were at a show one time. I kid you not. There was a guy that just got drafted, And he signed everything, the jerseys and helmets and all this kind of stuff with his card autograph. He had a card autograph, which is a shorter autograph. And he didn't know that he could do a better autograph on these items. So he had to come back and re-sign all these 70 or so items and add a fuller autograph. And it looked way better after that. But a lot of these guys need to be coached. They need to be told, hey, listen, this is how it's done. And they just don't know. They just sign the item and that's it, you know?
Oh, maybe we should be speaking to their business managers or agents, because yeah, it's definitely a problem and it looks horrible. And when someone's paying a lot of money for an autograph, like the least you could do is take some time and put some effort and make it look good. With that being said, Matt Powers, thank you so much for coming on the pod. Really appreciate it. Some interesting conversation, and I'm sure people learned a couple things today. And tell the people again where they can find you.
Yeah, powerssportsmemorabilia.com. It's really long. I know it is, but maybe we'll shorten it up one of these days.
Just like some autographs.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Michael.